Coming up on podcast 1400, the Chevy Blazer EV is a car you might want to consider for your next one. It's on sale next year. I got the details. Also on the show today, Tesla deploying some emergency software updates. Find out if you need it. Stick around. Porsche and Mercedes-Benz having to temporarily pause their production lines. And why Volkswagen plug-in hybrids are temporarily off the menu. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It's Thursday, 10th of March. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Headline story today kicks us off, then. Let's talk about Chevy's Blazer crossover. It's going electric for what is the 2024 model year, but that means it's on sale next year. They're going to launch the Blazer EV, and there's a teaser video out today that indicates a few extra details. Now, look, we haven't been shown the whole thing, but we do get a performance-oriented trim. The SS trim, part of the lineup, following an onslaught of other electric vehicle announcements from General Motors lately. We've been talking GMC Hummer, Chevy Silverado, all of these using the Ultium battery technology. And earlier this year, according to CarAndDriver.com, they say that Chevrolet revealed the first images of the Equinox EV. That's an electric SUV sharing the name of the company's popular compact crossover. Chevy says the Blazer is going to be the company's first EV to gain performance badging with the SS badge when it debuts later this year. So you get all the details later this year. It goes on sale, though, so you can get your order in. It doesn't mean it goes into production, but it goes on sale this time next year. We're 12 months away from it, and it's really interesting how they're taking some of those nameplates that many people will know and love and making them an EV. I talked about this, I was on a podcast some time ago. The benefits, the pros and the cons of taking your existing names and making them electric or coming up with something brand new. Obviously, for startups, it's all brand new. Volkswagen have gone down the route of the ID range, and I get that. And then the other cars like Cupra have gone with, Seat Cupra have gone with the Born. Something like Mercedes have gone with the EQ badging. The other argument is you take those names that are known and loved, the Ford F-150, and you just make an electric version of it. And the Chevrolet Blazer, the Equinox, you know what I mean? Like, you just make an EV version of that, and many of them will still carry on making the combustion versions. Interesting, different ways of doing it. It's not right or wrong in any particular way. I do like taking existing names and making them EV, because I think it gives the messaging, sometimes subtle, sometimes not, but it says, oh, hey, here's a car that we've been making for a long time. Yeah, it's powered by batteries now. You know, no big deal. So, obviously, it is a big deal. I think it seems less scary to some buyers. Not to all. You know, everyone's different. But I like taking those names that have been around a long time. And, hey, you know, sometimes they'll make a diesel version over the years. And, oh, you know, now we're doing a special edition. And now we're doing an electric version. I love that. Right, let's talk about the Blazer a little bit more. They revealed it at the CES, but preferred to instead share details of the Equinox at the time. That is set to go on sale around $30,000. Equinox SUV is going to be a bargain by EV standards. It won't have the biggest battery because, you know, you can't have a $30,000 EV with a huge battery. But the big screens, the fancy technology, The bones of the Ultium technology going into the Equinox are all going to be there. It shows that Chevrolet taking its transition to EVs seriously. So we know more about the Equinox, but the Blazer EV SS, I think, is going to be really interesting. Let's talk about General Motors now partnering with California and the utilities there for a vehicle-to-home. It's a pilot. It's a trial. I wish these were bigger scale, but GM announcing a partnership with PG&E to allow GM customers to use their EVs as backup power sources for their homes in the case of a power cut. As part of the pilot, test vehicles will be enabled with bi-directional charging technology to power a properly equipped home. Bi-directional charging capabilities offer a higher level of electric resiliency and less reliance on the grid during peak times, says FutureCar. They say the pilot includes the use of bi-directional hardware that's paired with software in the vehicle and in the home as well to enable power to flow from the car to the house and the house to the car. The software will automatically coordinate between the EV, the house, and the utility company, And the pilot will be testing bidirectional power technology in multiple GM EVs. It's not just going to be one of them. So that's super interesting. It has, I think, some, you know, the whole power cut, natural disaster kind of relief thing gets a lot of headlines. I, hand on heart, cannot remember the last time we had a power cut. Now, I know we had one at some point because I went back in the kitchen and the oven light was flashing. It was 0000. I had to reset the clock. Out here, until we had solar put on the house a couple of months ago, I'll tell you more about that on a future podcast, I've been getting by with two solar panels on the shed roof and about a kilowatt hour of stored energy, and it's an off-grid system down here at the bottom of the garden. And so it does all my needs. Like, so we had a power cut. I never knew. It could have been 1 minute or 10 minutes. I don't know. But apart from that, I can't think of the last time we had a power cut. Whereas I know many places do, and it's a bigger deal. We don't have extreme weather here either. So that's not a big deal for us. But again, I know it is for some people. I think of more interest with vehicle to home and vehicle to grid is that ability to work with the grid, with pricing signals, to say to you, hey, if you can wait till 2 a.m. or midnight when everyone's asleep and electricity is really clean and cheap, if you can wait, we'll fully charge your EV. But if we can have 10% of it between 4 and 7 p.m. when everyone's getting home and the kids are coming home from school, you're cooking dinner, etc. If we can have some, you know, 10, 15% of your EV now, and we'll put it back later, and maybe they'll pay you a multiple because it's expensive, then I think that's got some real possibilities. When people realize they can have pounds in their pocket by doing this, I think it'll take off. Now, Ford, of course, announcing their partnership with Sunrun. They do residential solar for Ford F-150 Lightning owners to use that huge, that big old battery in the F-150 Lightning as a battery reserve. It's Ford's intelligent backup power. You have to install the Ford Charge Station Pro and the home integration system. That includes the inverter and a dark start battery and transfer switch, enabling two-way power flow between the home and the vehicle. Okay, moving on. Tesla is deploying some emergency software updates to calibrate the LFP batteries. That's the lithium iron phosphate batteries. They are taking a serious step to fixing this issue of dead 12-volt batteries failing. Now, I've only seen one of these in the wild. A couple of weeks ago, my friend Richard Simons from RSEV had a Model Y, the first ones in the country, in the right-hand drive. And we had a look, and yes, indeed, it did have the 12-volt lithium-ion battery, and it was, I thought they were going to be like 14 or 15 volts, but it did say 12-volt on it. Anyway, maybe I was confused. I thought that was the reason why they couldn't have the tow bar package and the electrics for the tow bar, because the lithium-ion battery was actually a higher voltage than the 12-volt. No, it didn't. It wasn't. It was a 12-volt lithium-ion battery. But they've been going flat because the range indicator has been miscalibrated, and so cars have been showing 10% of range left and grinding to a halt. Now, of course, when the main traction battery is completely drained, it can then cause the 12-volt lithium-ion battery to also die. That means the whole car is effectively bricked. Stick it on a trailer, get it back to Tesla. So, new update coming, by the way, if it's of interest to you. It's version 2022.4.5.12. Get it installed, and it'll help calibrate your car's LFP traction battery so that, it doesn't say 10% left when you don't have it. Tesla also confirming deliveries of German Model Ys now have a date. Now, this isn't set in stone. It could change with everything with Giga Berlin, but let's hope it doesn't. I'm so excited about this, actually making Teslas on the continent. Yes! The date, March 22nd. Deliveries. No, it's not just production, but deliveries. Handover day. It's party day. Whoop, whoop. Maybe Elon will dance. Party day is March 22nd. Approval has been given. Conditional approval has been given. 400 different conditions have to be met. German officials saying that they expect Tesla to fulfill all those conditions. Well, I mean, they have to, or they can't make cars. huge day, and I'm sure there'll be a big party atmosphere. Lots of local officials, I'm sure, very happy that they finally got the facility open. And it would be very strange for Elon Musk not to fly in and give a bit of a speech, a bit of chit-chat, but a lot of work to do there to ramp Model Y and also to start with cell production here in Europe. So big day, but it's not the end of that story, because Brandenburg, the area that it's in, is going to make water allowances after the permit for water extraction was found to be illegal last week and affecting Tesla's factory. But they are allowed partial extraction. This would allow the public water supply to be maintained, the Ministry of Environment said. Last week, the Administrative Court of Frankfurt, not that one, the smaller Frankfurt, declared the water permit, which was issued 2 years ago, unlawful and unenforceable because they hadn't given people enough time in the public consultation. In the reaction to that, though, the Water Association in the area, the WSC, demanded that the state tolerate water pumping until they make up for the procedural error. 1.4 million cubic meters of water contractually guaranteed by WSC, the Water Association, for Tesla. They don't need that much when they start to head towards full capacity. That's 500,000 cars a year. So as they're ramping, they won't need that much, and they can redo that application process. People will have their say. It'll all be done by the book, and that should be fine. They're not going to ramp to 500,000 cars tomorrow, are they? So let's talk Tesla Model 3 production. Oh, in a moment, actually, we will talk about Porsche and Mercedes-Benz halting production and why Volkswagen plug-in hybrids also temporarily on pause. Those stories are on the way. Stick around. Now, let's talk about Model 3 production allocation heading to Europe from Giga Shanghai. Tesla can't produce the 3 and the Y fast enough in Shanghai. And of course, it's pretty bad here in Europe because we're relying on Shanghai while Giga Berlin ramps. And if you want a Model 3, either the rear-wheel drive or the long-range all-wheel drive, estimated delivery time in Germany now says Feb 2023. That's a year away. It's true for customers in Germany, France, and the UK. The waiting time is longer than people in North America get. If you're in the US and you want to buy a Model 3, you may well see May as your delivery date. As in May this year, not May next year. Canadians wait till about August. We wait till February. Yeah, get that Berlin facility open as soon as possible. Now we'll talk about Porsche and Mercedes-Benz halting production lines. Why? They're faced with parts and component shortages. Ukraine is cited as the root cause for some of those production issues. Porsche and Mercedes-Benz joining BMW, Mini and VW, idling plants in Europe. March 18th is when they will return to normal activities. It's the wiring harnesses, which are all made in Ukraine, and part production was halted when Russia invaded the country. MotorIllustrated.com says that the Mercedes-Benz EQS electric car production at the plant near Stuttgart has been paused. Porsche deferring the Taycan. We're not talking mega numbers here. Porsche will defer making 200 Taycans. Mercedes didn't give their number. Now, two heavyweights of China's EV industry are giving their opinion on the future of batteries and charging, and they have different opinions. Li Jun is the chief exec of Xiaomi, the smartphone giant entering the car market, and saying that they've started to build their first EV factory just outside Beijing, suggesting that the Chinese authorities should develop high-power charging stations and more infrastructure. However, Geely, and the CEO there, Li Shufu, is saying the opposite. China should build battery swapping stations, which negates the need to invest in high-power charging stations. So two titans of the industry saying that they need to invest in completely opposite areas. I would say, why not both? I mean, it's China, after all. China's charging stations actually need upgrading. Only about 20% of EV charging piles in the country are what you would call high-powered chargers. And as for battery swapping, the chief exec of of Xiaomi, saying it's hard to persuade car makers to accept a standardized battery swap. I get that, because if you want to build battery swap stations, you've kind of got to coordinate between lots of different companies to say, right, the dimensions of your battery are this. Like the bolts, the torque of the bolts is this. And this is going to be the size of the battery pack, the physical dimensions. And this is how the battery swap works. You've all got to have the same standard battery size. What you put inside it, fine. You know, the connector. I mean, so I get that. But if anywhere can do it, you guessed it, China. Now, Volkswagen plug-in hybrids currently off the menu, as if the global chip shortage not enough. Now, the Russian invasion of Ukraine is causing troubles for Volkswagen. And yes, of course, the humanitarian crisis is far more important than the stupid issue of buying a brand new car. Last thing should be, we should be comparing those two things. But Volkswagen are not accepting orders for their plug-in hybrids at the moment. Germany's automobile, Vok, quoted by Automotive News, says that the plug-in hybrid versions of the Golf, Tiguan, Passat, Arteon, and Touareg all currently paused. It seems that not only production of the plug-in hybrids affected, but also their core plant in Wolfsburg is probably going to shut down and pause next week. Zwickau, where their EVs are made, is being idled probably until March 18th. Real issues for the car makers. Like I say, first world problems when lots of people, two million people, I think it is in the minute, humanitarian crisis, currently leaving the country and seeking asylum in other countries in Europe. Now, let's talk about rental cars. And rental car giants are embarking on electric car mania after the pandemic. The $100 billion Western car rental industry is actually quite flush with cash. The pandemic was actually quite profitable. People didn't want to get on public transport and the train and the bus, so they hired cars because they wanted to be in a vehicle on their own with nobody coughing over their shoulder. But now Chinese-made cars could play a starring role. Turns out that the Chinese cars coming to Europe and the US may not be aimed at individual personal shoppers after all, but perhaps on the car rental car market. These cheaper cars, often from Chinese and Asian makers, are largely comparable to anything else that you can buy in the world right now, but they cost less. In the US, rental car companies received a record monthly revenue of about $1,300 per vehicle last year, according to Auto Rental News, says Reuters.com. That's up from 1,000 pre-pandemic. Europcar, their French-based company, Europcar, said they'll make 20% of their fleet electric or low emission. Some fudgy language there. By 2024, it's only 3% right now. In the US, many people prefer an SUV and a pickup model, but they haven't been electrified in the US very much, whereas they have in Asia and Europe in some places. Great Wall Motor are going to be a Europe car supplier with the Auracat. That costs the equivalent of €20,000, $22,000, has 250 miles of range. And yes, that is another Chinese-made car. Now, question of the week, sponsored by emobilitynorway.com. Do you think rising fuel prices at the pumps are going to have a direct impact on EV sales? Yes, no, why? Give me your opinion. I'll read it out next Sunday. It'll be a two-weeker, this one. Email me feedback, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thank you to our premium partners of the podcast, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, doing those big solar installs. What a time to be generating your own electricity with the crisis right now. Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one tomorrow, and remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.